dreamed I went to heaven, and you were there with me. We walked upon the streets of gold beside the crystal sea. I heard the angels singing, and someone called your name. We turned and saw this young man. He was smiling as he came. He said, "Friend, you may not know me now." Then he said, "But wait, you used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. And every week you would say a prayer before the class would start. One day when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus in my heart. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am that life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave." Then another man stood before you and said, "Remember the time a missionary came to your church and his pictures made you cry. You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. Jesus took that gift you gave, and that's why I'm here today. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am that life that was changed. Thank you for giving to Lord, I am so glad you gave." One by one they came, far as the eyes could see. Each one somehow touched by your generosity. Little things that you have done, sacrifice and made, I noticed on the earth, but in heaven now proclaimed. I know up in heaven you're not supposed to cry, but I'm almost sure there were tears in your eyes. And Jesus took your hand, and you stood before the Lord. He said, "My child, look around you, for great is your reward." Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am that life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am that life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you came. I am so glad you came.
I don't know how you can listen to that song and not receive a blessing. And as Mike was singing, I know my personality is I overanalyze. I was thinking, okay, why does this affect me emotionally? Why? I was thinking those thoughts, and I thought, because it's real. You say, well, that song wasn't real. That's imagination. No. I believe that what I'm doing, I'm talking about me and my personal relationship with the Lord and my giving to missions, I believe it's going to pay wonderful dividends come eternity. And I would rather have what we just heard Mike sing about than mansions on this earth that's going to go to dust. I'm very, very thankful that God allows us to have this privilege of being in His work. I can't get over that verse in John chapter 20. Immediately coming out of the death, burial, and resurrection and meeting with that first church, he said, "Peace, as my Father has sent me, so send I you." I do not believe it's an accident. That's the first command we hear after the resurrection. It was that heavy upon the Lord's heart. And of all the places that's ever been blessed in the world to get this done, it's been the United States of America. May she long be preserved and we have this freedom. And just as surely as I'm standing here, there are those that would like to eliminate Christianity from our country, one way or another. So let's use the time we got, do the best we can, plant more churches, get closer to the Lord, and we can get closer to the Lord when we hear preaching like we've heard this week. Brother Sutton, you have done the best I've ever heard you preach, and I mean that sincerely. I was thinking, man, you get better as you get older. There's hope. I really believe you're a better preacher today than I've ever heard you, and I'm saying that just forthrightly. It's been a blessing, and I expect now and tonight to be a blessing as well. You come on and preach whatever the Lord's laid on your heart. Let's give him a good hand.
Looking for ways to please the Lord, looking for ways to help, and it has not gone unnoticed. It has not gone unnoticed. There's a man back there telling me hi. Oh no, he's telling me I haven't turned my microphone on. Amen. How's that, brother? I was going to ask you about that. Oh, there, I can even tell I'm on. Hallelujah. I've got some folk at home I'd like to put a microphone on so I could tell when they're on. Amen. Thank you for the way you've taken care of my wife and I since we've been here this week. It's been wonderful. I tell you, we have not had a dull moment. We've enjoyed being with you and getting to know some of you. And tonight, if you will allow me tonight, I want to preach a message on the unsung heroes of missions. And some of them are here, and I want to be a blessing to you. Today, the message is the credentials, the comfort, and the command of the Lord. And I bring your attention to Matthew chapter 28. Very familiar portion of Scripture if you're familiar with missions at all. And I was looking through this portion of Scripture again last night reading it, and I saw something that I had written to myself. And so I said, well, self, if you wrote that to yourself, maybe you ought to read it. And it says right here that March of 2002, I preached this in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Where are we at today? Albuquerque, New Mexico. Oh, but it's a different message, I promise you, amen. But it is over the same text, and I wanted to share that with you because somebody might say, I've heard that before, I'll just take a nap. Don't do that today, please. Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 16, as we read here what God has to say, I trust it will be a blessing to you. Anyone tired today? No one's tired. Has anyone been sitting too long? Okay, well, we'll just continue sitting then. Amen. I'm easy to get along with. Verse number 16, the Bible says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus appointed them." And you know, when we go where Jesus has appointed us, there is always a surprise, always a blessing, always something more than what we anticipated if we go where Jesus has appointed us. Verse number 17 says, "And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted." Would you give your doubts to the Lord Jesus today? Maybe you doubt today that he could really save you and set you free. Or maybe you doubt today that he can make your family what it's supposed to be. Maybe you doubt today that he could give you a job where you could take care of your family like you would really like to take care of your family. Maybe you're struggling in some area of your life and you're doubting if there is really an answer. Would you give your doubts and your fears to the Lord today? The Bible says that some believed, but some doubted. And then the Bible says in verse number 18, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Father, we have never needed you any more than we need you right now. Thank you for the promise of your presence. Thank you for the promise of your power. Help me, Father, not to take that promise lightly nor for granted. And Father, I pray today in that name that is above every name. I believe today, Lord, that Jesus himself would have me come and ask you to crown this service with your presence and your power. And Father, that you'd bring deep conviction in every place that it's needed. Father, that you'd bring comfort where it's needed. Father, that you'd give us ears to hear that we might know what you want us to do. Help me as I preach. Help me, Lord, to be timely. And then help these folks, Lord, as they listen. Certainly, Lord, I've been given the easier of those two jobs. But Lord, with your help, both the hearer and the speaker can be successful in your eyes. That is our desire. And I thank you in advance in Jesus' name. Amen. Excuse me. I want to share with you this morning that, as a matter of fact, we have two goals. I say we, the Lord and I, as we bring this message to you. And those goals are simply this. Number one, we're trolling here in this harvest field. We're trolling in this part of the sea. We're laboring in this part of the field because we want to see if there's not someone here that God has put his hand upon their life and said, "I want you in some area of full-time Christian service." You never stoop to enter the ministry. It's always a step up to be what God wants you to be. How often I tell ladies, and thank God for ladies, how often I tell ladies that when you are what God wants you to be, you are in a wonderful, wonderful place, a place that's special, a place of protection, a place of provision. Today, please listen. Ask God, Lord, do you want me in some particular part of the world to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ? And then the second thing that I would like to ask you to consider would be what God wants you to do for missionaries. We took this morning your faith promise commitment. I have seen people take a second card and fill out an additional amount because they really listened to God after filling out the first one. And I would ask you today to really ask yourself, am I, as I hook up with this partner of mine in giving to world missions, am I doing what God wants me to do? You see, the fact is, every blood-bought child of God is supposed to go across or come across. We're supposed to go across the street, across the waters, across the world, or we're supposed to come across with the funds so that other folk can go in our stead. And let me say to you today that the one that's holding this end of the rope is every bit as important as the one that's descending down into the dark pit to preach the gospel of Christ. Don't let the devil tell you what you're doing here is not important. Oh, it is so very important. And I trust today we can encourage you along that line. Here, as I look at this portion of Scripture, and I just want to look at three things that the Lord Jesus tells us in this portion of Scripture. And first, he gives us very clear credentials. Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." That seems like quite a statement, doesn't it? Jesus says here that all power is his. He died, he was buried, he raised again prior to this statement. So he had a lot of evidence to substantiate his statement when he said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." When I consider all power, and I have a long list of things here, listen with me as I read this list, because I didn't want to leave any of these things out. He has power over Satan and the devils. He has power over all angels, both good ones and evil ones. He has power over the natural universe, over natural objects, over laws and forces and stars and galaxies and planets and meteorites, power over weather systems, over the wind and the rains and the lightning and the thunder and the hurricanes and the tornadoes, the monsoons and the typhoons, the cyclones. He has power over all the devastation that those things might produce, the tidal waves, the fires, and the floods. He has power over the molecular and atomic reality, over atoms and electrons and protons and neutrons. He has power over undiscovered automatic particles and quantum physics and genetic structures and DNA and chromosomes, and power over all plants and animals and great and small, over the whales and the redwoods and the giant squids and the giant oaks, and over all fish and over all wild beasts, all invisible animals and plants and bacteria and viruses and parasites and germs, and power over all parts and functions of the human body. Over the beating of the heart and the breathing of the diaphragm, over the electrical jumping across of the millions of connections within our brain, over all nations and powers and governments and congresses and legislatures and presidents and kings and premiers and courts. He has power over all armies and all weapons and all bombs and all terrorists and all of industry and business and finances and currency, and power over all entertainment and amusement and leisure and medium. Power over all education and research and science and discovery. Power over all crime and violence, over all family and neighborhoods, over all churches, and over all and every soul that has ever lived or ever will live. Amen. Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Jesus has both the might and the right to do anything that he pleases. And he has chosen to use you and me. Jesus today is looking for volunteers. Oh, wonderful volunteers. But he's not looking for volunteers to be advisors. He already has a pretty good idea how he's going to do it. So Jesus today gives clear credentials when he says, "All power is given unto me." Secondly, he gives calming comfort. He said, and I am with you always, even to the end of the world. There's not a time, there's not a place when you as a child of God didn't know where you were and what you were doing, what you were facing and what you needed, what you would do and what you wouldn't do. He knew about your failings. He knew about your successes. He knew every up and he knew every down. And he was there to comfort you if you would allow him to. He speaks here of his identification. You see, this is the one that has all power, that has the ability to comfort us. I was going out to a mission that we started in Wellington, Colorado, off of the church there in Fort Collins where Pastor Park now is pastoring. I was listening to a talk, to a call-in talk show that was being hosted by a very conservative Jewish man. And it was about Easter time, and there was a big debate going on about who killed Jesus. Was it the Jew who betrayed him, or was it the Roman soldier that nailed him to the cross? And I listened for some time, and then I thought, I have to tell them what the Bible says. And so I called in, and I was very respected by the man who answered the phone, and he put me on the air, and they said, Pastor Sutton, who do you say is guilty of killing Jesus? I said, well, that's a multiple answer question. First off, the Jews are guilty. Secondly, the Roman soldier is guilty. Thirdly, you and I are guilty. But never forget, Jesus himself said, no man taketh my life. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it back up again. And we need to understand today that Jesus Christ identifies himself as the one who can now give comfort. And then not only is there identification here, but there's continuation without any break. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness. And be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. My wife and I left our first church the last day of June of 1972. Little did we know that within 17 days we would lose our first son. And then my wife, expecting a child, would be, we were called to a church in Johnson, Kansas. And her expecting this child, of course, they babied us, and God really put us in the right place at the right time, and they loved us and met our needs and just were wonderful to us. My wife's mother had a heart attack in Denver, and we're thinking, what in the world is going on? We contacted the director of the local airport, and he said he would give my wife a ride to Denver, to Stapleton International at that time, which was just down the road a little ways from the hospital where my mother-in-law was. And so we flew to Denver, Colorado. I had to return back to Kansas, and my wife went into labor. And because God had allowed my mother-in-law to have a heart attack, and because God had all these things worked out, when our baby was born with a spinal bifida, we were in just exactly the right place. And a Jewish doctor was examining my daughter. He had a hold of her little legs and was doing like she was riding a bicycle. Had several other doctors and nurses do the same thing. It was a medical hospital or a student hospital. And they said, we don't see what you're talking about, doctor. He said, there's a difference. He rolled her over, and there was a place on her back about that big around, and it was kind of speckly looking, kind of freckly looking, with red freckles, and it seemed like a little bit of hair growing there. And he said, we need to examine this baby. And they found out that in her formation within her mother, that her spinal cord came down and a spur had grown through her spinal cord this way, and then it had come back together again on the other side. They said, "We have to remove that spur." I said, "Okay, let's remove the spur." And the doctor took us into his office and he set us down and he said, "I don't know how to tell you, but chances are your daughter won't survive the surgery. And if she does, the best we can promise you is that she'll have life for a while. And she'll develop the large water head that you've seen on some children. And she'll never learn to control her bowels or her bladder. She'll never learn to speak. She'll never learn anything." And we were crushed. But there was that still small voice of the one who said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." They took her into surgery. They clipped off the spur. They were able to remove it from her spinal cord and stitch up her back. They said everything went well. We think she will live. 3 or 4 days later, that back broke open. And next door to her was a bad case of spinal meningitis. And they said, "We fear what will happen because of that." And we could hear this still small voice saying, "I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee." And I roll ahead, and I roll ahead, and I roll ahead. And today, my third daughter, Misty, has had 3 armory boys, and she rides horses, and she water skis, and she snow skis, and she does whatever she pleases, because we have a God who has all power. And he says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." We have a wonderful God today. And Jesus has promised us he'll never leave us. He will never forsake us. And then not only is this comforting because of the fact that he'll be there without a break, but it's comforting because he'll be there without an end. You see, Jesus didn't say he would stay with us till the next election. He didn't say he would stay with us till next week. He didn't say he would stay with us till the next time we failed him. He said, literally, "You're stuck with me." When in reality, he is stuck with us by his own choice. He loves us so much. And then could I say to you today that there is a convincing command. Jesus said, "Go ye. Go ye." And in this convincing command, we find that this is the last thing that Jesus is going to tell his New Testament Baptist church before he steps on a cloud and rides it out of sight. And then 2 men stood by in white apparel and said this, "You men of Galilee, why stand you looking up into heaven? This same Jesus shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven." Could I paraphrase what they said? They said, "Y'all are wasting a lot of time. You better get busy." The Bible said Jesus tells us that we're to go. Jesus has the right to be known in every culture, by every color, and every society, in every religion, in every language, in the entire world. Jesus has that right. Jesus desires to conquer, but he wants to conquer without war and without weapons. He wants to conquer as we go forward on our knees. Jesus is a convincing commander, and the command is to preach the gospel, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. My friend, if you could do anything to work your way to heaven, Jesus would have never died the death that he died. I spoke yesterday to Daniel, who is the manager at Freddy's. I made the mistake of calling that stuff ice cream. It's not ice cream, it's yogurt. Hallelujah, yogurt's healthier than ice cream. I'm going to go back this afternoon. I talked to Daniel about, actually what I talked to Daniel about is because they have a microphone there and they use it to tell you when your order's ready. And I said to the young lady that was taking care of it, could I borrow that microphone? And she said, what for? I said, I have an important message to give everybody. And she said, what's your message? And I said, I want to see everybody go to heaven and nobody go to hell. And she went, she said, you'd have to talk to the manager. And so I just laughed it off. Said, I saw her talking to the manager. She had my card and one of your tracks, and she's showing them to the manager, and he's looking around, so I thought I ought to be easy to find. So I went and spoke to him. And he said, well, sir, what do you want to say on the microphone? Well, I'd already given up on the microphone. He said, what do you want to say on the microphone? And I said, well, if I use the microphone, I'd just tell people how much Jesus loved them. And his purpose for coming was to die that we might have life. He said, you know, I'm going to go to heaven. And I said, how do you know that, Daniel? He said, and he told me, Daniel means God is my judge. And he was right. And I was impressed that he knew that much. And we visited for a little bit. But he's trying to work his way to heaven. And I told him, I said, Daniel, I'm not. He said, you know, preacher, I'd let you do that. I'd like for you to do that. But he said, I had somebody come in and they did something like that one time. They were trying to get some money for some organization. Boy, it made a lot of people mad. I said, well, my message would too, so I'll spare you the embarrassment. But he's trying to work his way to heaven. The Apostle Paul said, I frustrate not the grace of God, for if salvation cometh by righteousness, then Christ died in vain. And so God wants us to take the message, the gospel. Listen, the gospel isn't building hospitals, but thank God for good hospitals. The gospel isn't planting, training farmers, but thank God for farmers that take care more than just themselves. It's not a lot of things that we do and call missions. The gospel and missions is getting the good news of Jesus Christ out to a lost and a dying world. Brother Clifford Clark pastored Tulsa Baptist Temple for a whole lot of years. He's in heaven now. Clifford Clark said, God is not going to call every saved person to preach, but every saved person should ask God and struggle with the question, God, do you want me to preach? Do you want me to be a missionary? Do you want me to be a pastor? Do you want me to keep myself so I can marry a pastor and help a missionary through all the trials of this life? Lord, what do you want me to do? And the command to go brings with it a tremendous responsibility. We need to go with the most effort, and we need to go in the most effective way we can possibly go. And you can't improve on God's way of doing. The whole world needs to hear the gospel. Someone said you can't take the gospel to the wrong address. And I believe that that's true. You can't give it to the wrong person. I was learning sign language so I could speak to deaf people. And I confess that I didn't stay with it and I lost what I had learned. But I was giving the gospel to a man at the gym one day. And he was deaf and couldn't hear, and he would ask me questions, and he was so patient with my lack of knowing. And I tried to give him Bible verses, and I'd take a Bible, and he'd read the Bible verses, and I'd try to tell him, talk to him with my hands, and I couldn't do much like I'd like to do, and I felt so helpless. And when I got all finished, he put his arm around me and hugged me. He said, I'm already a believer. But he said, it's so seldom that a hearing person will talk to me and tell me what I need to hear. Listen, you can't take the gospel to the wrong place. But we're commanded to take it. take it to our spouses, take it to our parents, take it to our neighbors, to our children, to our neighbors' children, to the place where we work, to the place where we go to school, to the bus we ride on, to the automobile repairman. Did you ever stop to think that maybe the reason your car failed you is so that you could come with the gospel and give it to that mechanic? Maybe you got sick and had to go to the hospital, to the doctor, so that the one who's drawn the blood could hear that there is a blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. It'll take all the sin and the curse of sin away from a person. We have an awesome job. We have an awesome job. But we have an awesome God who has promised us all power to do everything he wants done. He's just wanting people to say, "Here, my Lord, send me." Would you do that today? Would you do that today? Maybe when we stand in just a moment and have the invitation, maybe you ought to come to an old-fashioned altar and just ask the Lord again, "Father, what do you want me to do?" Let's all stand, please. Father, today we're grateful for the gospel of Christ and grateful, Lord, for the proof that Christ is the one who has all power for all the things he controls. Would you, Father, bless this invitation to your honor and to your glory? Help us, Father, not to do anything beyond what you want done, but, Father, help us not to leave anything undone that you desire for us to do. Lord, if there's someone here today and they're not saved, oh, how we thank you that there's still enough power in the blood of Christ to cleanse us from all sin. Father, would you do that which no man can do? Help us, I pray. Before I finish praying today, I wonder, is there someone here by the upraised hand? You'd say, "Preacher, God has visited with my heart today. I'm not making you any promises, but I'd like to ask you to pray for me." I won't embarrass you. Thank you, sir. God bless you. I'll not ask you, come back and ask you any questions. I'll not stop you at the door. I'll never ask you what we're praying about. But if you'd like to ask me to pray for you today, would you slip up your hand? I will, I promise. God bless you. Thank you. It's a privilege. It's a privilege. Father, thank you today. I've only seen the hand, Lord, but you've seen the heart. You know the great need of the people that raise their hand. And so, Father, I pray that you'd meet that need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And Father, do it in such a way that no one could receive the credit but you and the Lord. Help us today, Father, to be receptive. Help us, Father, to be responsive to the gospel invitation today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.